It is Friday night at Yahoo Sports Radio and the Big East Sports Show, and the college football conversation continues. We have already hit on Oklahoma, the Notre Dame matchup. It is now time to go under the helmet with former Blackshirt defensive great at the University of Nebraska, Jason Peter. How are you, Jay?
I'm good. How are you, Alyssa?
Doing great. So excited about all the wonderful matchups this weekend and on Saturday. But before we start talking about and breaking down LSU, Georgia, kind of give us the pulse. Have things quieted down in Lincoln, Nebraska? Because after last week, it was a very, very tumultuous, a very rough week for Bo Pelini.
Yeah, I'll tell you, he's come out of this looking good. They did a wonderful spin job and focused most of the attention to the leaker, that he was betraying Husker Nation by pulling this thing out 2 years later, or 2 years after it originally happened. But I think with a lot of people, the damage has been done. To be honest, I think whether or not it's the act or what Bo had said about the fan base, I kind of think it's almost not irrelevant, but it's just a side note. For most people, it's because Nebraska just hasn't won. They every time there is talk against Bo Pelini in the program, it seems like this staff of Bo Pelini is one of five teams or head coaches that has won, 9 games in their first 5 years. And he's in company with, Nick Saban and Chris Peterson. It's kind of comical because, truth be told, it's pretty easy to win 9 games a year, at least 9 games a year, especially if you're playing in the Big Ten. There's just enough teams out there that just are not good. I mean, look at Michigan gets taken to the wire this past weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Indiana, that's an embarrassment. Purdue, it's like people are saying, well, we're not really sure about Purdue because, they look good against Notre Dame. Well, it's Notre Dame. I'm even going back last year when Notre Dame played in a national championship game, I'm thinking, gosh, Notre Dame, everyone's ranting and raving about them. They're a good Big Ten team. They pretty much play a Big Ten schedule, but that's what ultimately you got on a national championship night last year. I think Notre Dame was exposed, and the Big Ten is just bad. Other than Ohio State, and we're going to kind of find out what Urban Meyer and that team is about. But there's just I think a lack of quality head coaches in the Big Ten. I don't know if, other than Urban Meyer, there's a guy in this league that has the type of impact that a Nick Saban or somebody has, where it's like, I want to go play for that guy. Urban Meyer is the only guy that kind of holds that kind of clout. And, but we'll see what happens. But getting back to the point, it's kind of, I think, the lack of championships, the getting embarrassed on national TV every time Nebraska has a national televised game. They just, it's like they're a deer in headlights. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to react. I mean, you look at the UCLA game a couple of weeks ago, they're up by
18 points. 18 points.
Yeah, and then it's 38 unanswered points, and they don't know what to do, and it's just it's disappointing for the fan base. I think they expected more in Bo Pelini's sixth year. He continually talks about the process, but Husker fans were given a little bit of hope this past Saturday with a new quarterback. So.
Well, Jason, you were just referencing talking about the loss and being embarrassed against UCLA, but what about falling behind 17-14 in the first quarter against the Jackrabbits?
Oh, do you know how many people were sitting in front of their TV or in Memorial Stadium and said, here we go again?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the defense is bad. I mean, they were gashing Nebraska, and this is this is coming off a week where there was a lot of scrutiny, and you'd hope that the focus then would have been, we're going to get this defense in fighting shape, and they're going to be ready to roll, and here's the perfect time, you know, to kind of go out and build some confidence back up. We're playing South Dakota State, and what happened? I mean, it was, they made this running back, Renner, I think his last name is, he looked like Larry Zonka out there. I mean, it was just, you know, guys.
Zach Zenner, lined. You're talking about Zach Zenner.
Zach, yeah.
And he ran for 202 yards.
Oh, yeah. And they pulled him in the fourth. He didn't play in the fourth quarter. I think the coach decided that the game was kind of out of hand. He's certainly their greatest offensive weapon that they have. They made the decision not to play him in the fourth quarter. But this kid could have run for 300 yards. And I just, you know, people are scratching their heads thinking, golly, I mean, rush defense. And this has been a problem for Bo Pelini everywhere he's been, whether it's in Nebraska in 2003 or when he went down to Oklahoma or at LSU, he's always had issues stopping the run. And that's because he likes to add, he likes to put extra guys in coverage. And, you know, you can decide, I guess, to do that, and you kind of go with the bend, but don't break sort of mentality. But you know, you're talking about South Dakota State coming in and just, I mean, doing what they wanted, running the football. And, you know, the Big Ten certainly has a reputation of being more of that ground-and-pound type of offenses, even though you're getting more teams that are going with a spread look. But, yeah, I mean, that was always the first thing on the chalkboard, whether it was in the NFL or in college or in high school. Responsibilities, defense, number one, stop the run. If you have teams that are two-dimensional or multi-dimensional, it's virtually impossible to stop them. But if you want to stop an offense, you need to make them one-dimensional. How do you do that? You shut down the run to start with. Because there are just too many examples now for Bo Pelini and his defenses, and someone who's called kind of a defensive guru, that kind of back up this idea that maybe you know, his defense is kind of is had its finest day, and that maybe it's you know, time to get back to the drawing board and figure out something new, because there seems to be a book on Bo Pelini.
We are hitting it hard with Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. We want to pause. We want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. And Jason, we have been zeroing in on the Big Ten Conference, talking about Nebraska. One more question about the Huskers. Can you give us any indication? I know you were at the game last Saturday, as far as what kind of reception did Bo Pelini get? And do you really believe that he's going to be able to survive all of this and survive this season?
The reception he got, it was pretty good. But there was also kind of this movement prior to the game, because there was a lot of talk of people maybe not going, and that was how they're going to show their displeasure with Bo and what he said and the state of the program. But then it was kind of this movement of, we need to go and support the kids. Whether or not it's the head coach that you want, it's all about those kids that are out there. So it's important that, you know, it's still a full stadium. And sure enough, it was a full stadium. You know, it would have been interesting to see if maybe they had Bo Pelini walk out first by himself, how the reception would have been. But obviously he had, 100 guys that were following closely behind. But yeah, there was no real indication of there were a few boo birds out there, but nothing big. And as soon as the game got kicked off, and I think also, you know, a lot of people were excited to see Tommy Armstrong, who is
he started in place of injured Taylor Martinez,
okay. And now, you know, I'm not gonna say it's a full-blown quarterback controversy, but there are certainly people out there that would like to see Tommy Armstrong take over this offense. He feels like a lot of people feel like the future lies with this kid. You know, Taylor Martinez has been starting since he was a freshman. So if he's not, you know, capable of holding on to the ball or consistently moving this offense up and down the field, then, you know, why would all of a sudden it just the light go on, you know, three or four games into his senior year? And I can tell you, it was an inferior opponent, obviously, with South Dakota State, but the kid really looked good, this Tommy Armstrong. He runs the offense like he's a veteran. You know, he's mobile. He can run the football. He can throw the football. He feels much more comfortable running option than Taylor. I think every time Taylor is asked to run option, I think people kind of hold their breath. Because you got to be willing as a quarterback, as an option quarterback, got to be willing to get hit underneath the chin strap. And, you know, that's something Taylor does not like to get hit. You can see when he does get hit, he doesn't know how to take a hit. You know, you can connect the dots in terms of how often they actually let him get hit during the week and then how he reacts to getting hit, you know, on Saturday. I think there's a connection there. But Tommy Armstrong, it looks like he's been running some option prior to getting here at Nebraska.
Jason, let me jump in here. Give us a quick hit on Martinez. How is his turf toe injury? How's he doing?
There's still, I guess, some indecision as to whether or not he's going to make this start this weekend. They are saying that they want to make sure he is completely healthy. I don't know if a football player is ever completely healthy, but, you know, turf toe is one of those things that can linger. He didn't show any signs of it, you know, 2 weeks ago. It seemed like he was running around just fine back there, you know, during the UCLA game, but obviously they thought it was bad enough to hold him out, and I've actually got no problem with it. I think it was exciting to see Tommy Armstrong run this offense, and I don't think it would be the worst thing in the world to let him have another game under his belt.
Okay, Jason Peter with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, yahoosportsradio.com. You're listening to the Big E Sports Show. It is Friday night. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell. We're going to move around a little bit, Jay. Let's go into the SEC, and one of the most heavily anticipated games on Saturday is going to be LSU and the Georgia Bulldogs, and both these teams can certainly light it up. They are very explosive offensively. What stands out the most to you about this particular matchup?
Well, I think what you just said is they're both explosive offensively, because that hasn't been the case for LSU. I think you could go back to, I think it was 1928, they said, since LSU has averaged over 30 points in their first four games of the season. And that's exactly what they've done in 2013. And, you know, you could talk about another year for Zach Mettenberger under his belt, and maybe he's more mature, maybe has a better understanding of the offense, but they have a new offense, you know, to some degree, with Cam Cameron coming in there from the Baltimore Ravens. And he's been a real pleasant surprise for not just LSU fans, for college football fans, because you never know how guys, after spending time, whether it's in the NFL and coming back to college or spending time at college and then trying to go to the NFL, you never know how games are going to translate or systems are going to translate. And it seems like it's working just fine down there. And, you know, I think when you look at most teams around the country in what they've played or who they've played these first four games, you could probably say LSU. You know, you have TCU, which Gary Patterson, if he's known for anything, it's defense.
One thing about LSU, and I want to throw out this stat, they're outscoring their opponents 62-3 in the first quarter. So Les Miles obviously has his guys ready to go right out of the gate.
Yeah, and that's important, especially in college, because sometimes when the chips are down, when you're talking about 18, 19, 20-year-old kids out there, some of them they don't know how to battle back from a little adversity, and they can almost feel like, you know, it's the end of the world if a team jumps up. You turn on football on Sundays, you see it all the time, where NFL teams, they'll get up by 14, 21 points in the first quarter, and by the third, you know, the team that was down, there's a good chance that maybe they're up by three or up by a touchdown, because you have professionals there. They know it. You know, you don't have to get it all back at once. You just got to chip away, and you got to get kind of your house in order. And you know, I think in college it's just kind of sometimes the opposite, especially if you know, it's a team that doesn't have great leadership, you know, both from coaches and from players. But I think that is huge, being able to get out on an opponent at the collegiate level.
Well, it's going to be an exciting game to watch, LSU and the Georgia Bulldogs. Jason, we are flat out of time. We certainly appreciate you coming on, and we look forward to your perspective and your insight each and every week with our Under the Helmet segment. Thank you so much, Jay.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead this weekend and YSR. Stay close.